Today on Atomic Moms, we're talking good juju. Juju Jake, that is, my own personal energy healer. Jake talks to us about how the subconscious mind affects our parenting. And we answer one listener's question about when did we know it was time to get knocked up?
Bound to go wow wow.
Hi guys, it's Ellie and Bianca. I have had a doozy of a week, and we're going to be airing this a couple weeks later, so you can send your sympathy flowers then. Just kidding. I had surgery last Monday, and it was so intense because, as I've mentioned before, I had an incredibly rare, bizarro tumor in my femur near my knee a few years ago, and they were able to remove it. Luckily, in the early 90s, they would have amputated my leg. So I was super lucky and had 4 months of recovery. And now everything's great, but there was a little issue with the original surgery. There's a little too much of this like bone cement or artificial stuff that was kind of rubbing on my IT band. So I was having a lot of knee pain. So that's why I had the surgery. It was just for the knee pain. Nothing came back. I'm super healthy. But I was surprised by how much the prior surgery experience was wigging me out. Because I thought I was over it. Like I thought I had done a lot of work so that I'd be cool with it. But then the idea of going back to that same spot again, to have that cut open again, was intense for me. And I thought a lot about my girlfriends who've had really difficult birthing experiences, and how a lot of them have anxiety about having another child because of that. And so it just brought it up for me. But the big thing was, this was my first time going under and having a child. And I couldn't stop thinking about, like, what if there's an earthquake and I'm under and I can't get my child? Like, there's a powerlessness about, and your father was an anesthesiologist, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
So that was, but it was amazing because she was the last thing I thought of before I went under.
Well, of course.
And obviously the first thing I thought of when I got up. And it was kind of an amazing experience just to, you know, you recognize like what a life force these little beings are.
Well, it totally brings into sharp focus your mortality, because I think before having a kid, you're kind of like, I mean, I've been fearful of death, I think, but you know, normal amount that most people are. It's like the big lurking elephant in the room. We're all going to die. Shock, surprise.
It still blows my mind.
I know. It's all of us. And yet, you know, when you are a single person, it's like, yeah, I'm going to die. But well, I mean, you think about your family maybe or whatnot, but then you have a kid and it's suddenly this being that needs you. What will happen to them? It's interesting. I was never, I've never been a great flyer. I don't really love flying. And unfortunately, I have to do it tons for my job. And, but now it's like, if I have to get on a flight without Magnolia, which I have yet to do, I was supposed to do it, but I missed my flight. Wonder if that was subconscious. But you know, it's like, I would be fearful of flying. To do it without her is like, I can't even, you know, think about it. It's like the fear goes up through the roof. But I've flown with her now several times and the fear of flying gone. I feel like I have to take care of her on the flight. So I think about her, but also I feel like if something happened, we're all here together.
So as long as she goes down with you, you don't have any anxiety.
It's fine. It's all good.
I have had the opportunity to fly without Sabrina, and it was amazing. I got to read a book. I got to watch a movie. I got to go to the bathroom. It was like a mini vacay. It was cross country, and I just couldn't believe. Normally, I'd be like, oh, my God, 5.5 hours. And it was so great.
We went to New York last week.
I know. I can't believe you did. It was so short.
It was so short. It was a 4-day trip. And Mike had to work. And so we flew cross country with Magnolia, our 7.5 month old. And I swear, like, I wish someone had taken a picture of us when we had gotten off the plane in New York, because we must have looked like we were like had not slept for a week. And, you know, it was like some strange animal attacked us, because I was so tired by the time we got there. And I just like, I look at parents on the plane so differently now. Like, I never understood how so hard that is, because you have to entertain them the whole time. And Magnolia's not even walking yet.
I mean, you have to change them. And then there isn't even, like, on some of the flights, there aren't even changing tables, which I got really, really angry about on one flight because they didn't have changing tables. And they told me to change her on my seat. And I was like, this is a blowout, people. So then I ended up, they gave me a blanket, an airplane blanket, and I had to put it on the floor at the back of the plane and put her on that to change her.
Yeah.
And then they threw away the blanket, but it was, come on, people, get changing tables. It's not that big of a deal. You put them over the toilet. Yeah. Do what Virgin America does. Get changing tables.
We had a changing table thing, thankfully, on this flight. But I needed a vacation after our trip, because I was just like, this is horrible.
Did you have a bunch of stuff too?
We had a ton of stuff because I just, you know, you're figuring it out. You figure out what works best and what do I check and what do I take. And it's a whole thing.
I mean, I had my pump equipment when we did New York around the same time.
I mean, I never even knew. It's like you single people out there, enjoy your flights by yourself if you're ever considering having kids.
I know, I would always whine about it. I'd be like, oh, it's so long. And then I'm like, oh, to do it by myself. It was really, it was a vacation.
But so you came through your surgery with flying colors.
I did.
How is your knee feeling?
It hurts now, but it's not bad. And I'm showering with Saran Wrap wrapped around it.
God, but with a child. How are you doing that with Sabrina?
Well, the hard thing is, like, when I pick her up, it starts to hurt a lot. And it's covered right now, so I can't see the scar. But I'm afraid I'm going to, like, make it bigger by picking her up a bunch. But what are you going to do? She's walking and running around like a little maniac. And I got a glimpse of what she's going to be like at 15, because she climbs our stairs, and they're so treacherous. And I'll stand right behind her as she goes up each step. And she just flipped out on me yesterday. And I wasn't touching her. I was there in case she fell. And it was like, if she had words, she'd be like, Mom, get away from me. I know how to climb the stairs, okay? God, you're such a bitch. Get out of my life. And I was like, Sabrina, I'm just right here. I'm right behind you. I'm here if you fall, but don't worry. Like, I know you can, you know, you can do this on your own. I'm not, you know, I'm not swooping in.
I've had those moments, by the way, already where I know, like my insecurity as like a high school person is coming back, where I'm like, there's gonna be moments where I know she doesn't like me.
Like, suck. I know. Our poor mothers, we've like abused them.
I know, like, she'll look at me sometimes and I'll be like, she doesn't like me very much right now. And I know that. And it really hurts my feelings.
She likes daddy more or the dog more.
Yeah. Well, it's good, because our guest today, I think, can probably help us with some of those feelings. We have a very interesting guest today.
I know. Here, let me tell you, I'm nervous. Shocker, everyone. I'm nervous, but I am, because when you said that he's an energy person, describe who he is first.
Okay. So it's really hard to kind of describe what he does. And please, and anyone out there, I do not fault you if by the end of today's podcast, you're still totally confused, but I think it's really interesting and I think it's worth a listen. So Jake does this thing called DEI, and I'm going to let him tell you what that is, because I always forget. But it's energy work. And, you know, yeah, I in fact call him Juju Jake, because he has such good juju and he's totally changed my life. There's no shock to you, Ellie, but most people out there might not know that I am a huge stinking hippie. And I like love all of those weird hoo hoo ha ha wee wee woo woo things that people do. And I've explored probably every avenue. And Jake is somebody who works with energy, and you know, energy is a thing, and it's a real thing, and we're all made of it. And I truly believe that that from one person to another, we all possess the ability to access that energy, but we aren't as maybe well versed in it, because it's not something that a lot of people talk about. And Jake, basically, his work that he does is he is in tune. He's not a psychic, but he's in tune with the energy of people, places, things, and he's able to kind of tell you where you may have blocks, where you may have built up emotional scarring from things in your past. And he goes in and he does energy clearings. And so he finds places where you're holding, where you're not able to access your true potential.
Yeah, it's like spring cleaning for your soul.
Exactly.
And he's going to talk to us about some really good tips for, you know, for if you're not in the market for having your own personal energy healer, like what you can do in your life that can make a difference. He's got amazing insight about that. I'm super excited. As I started to say earlier, I'm nervous because I feel like whenever I meet someone who was sort of tapped into the energy world or like, you know, plugged into the matrix.
The other side.
I get nervous about
what they see
or like what if I don't like them or like what if I have beef, because actually I got in a fight once with a yoga teacher and then I felt really bad about that after I was at the gym and I was working out. Sabrina was like a month old. I was so sleep deprived. I was working out. I left a jump rope out or something, and this woman was about to start her yoga class, and the yoga class only had like one dude who showed up anyway, and she's like, excuse me, are you gonna put that away? And she was so rude. And it really got my goat because I wanted to be like, okay, namaste, bitch. Like, are you kidding me? Like, come on. I was like, I'm sleep deprived. I said, I'm sorry. I have a 1 month old. It slipped my mind. I really apologize. And then I got up on that elliptical and I really, you know, just looked it up.
I saw one of those BuzzFeed things last week. It was the proof that humans are still kind to each other or something like that. And it was a note and a picture. And the picture was this guy's driveway with a car blatantly parked in front of the driveway. Like, and then the note said, I'm sure that you didn't mean to block my driveway. And so to save you any inconvenience, I took a cab to work today. Oh. I was like, the restraint.
That's amazing. Because I had a girlfriend who accidentally did that and she got towed.
Yeah. And then the guy wrote back on the other side of the page and said, I'm so sorry. I just had such a long week and I didn't even look. I apologize. Here, I've left you $15. I hope that covers your cab. And I was like, can you imagine our world if people, like, instead of just going straight to the place of anger and this person did this to me,
right?
If you just like took a minute to think, like, I mean, because, okay, let's be honest. Some people, the majority of people are assholes, but
some of us are just dummies.
Dummies. And,
we don't mean to do it
and caught up in our own shit, and just we have to pull our heads out of our asses. We're just not thinking straight.
Yeah.
Let's go get our guest. Let's talk about what's there in the subconscious that's effing us all up. All right, I'm gonna try and swallow my yogurt that is really actually just chocolate pudding.
It's in a glass jar.
And it's like almond yogurt with cacao. I always feel so weird when I say cacao, but it's chocolate cacao. Pudding. It's what it is. It's me pretending to be healthy, but it's I mean, it is healthy, but come on, it's still like
anyway. I was going to say something about Bill Cosby, but it was going to be so inappropriate.
Yeah. Let's stay away from that. We are here to welcome our lovely guest, my dear friend. And I would like to say, like, the savior of so many moments of insanity for me, Jake Martin.
Yay! Thank you for that.
I hope I didn't place you too high up on the pedestal.
Well, it's a high bar.
I'm so excited to have you here with us. And I know that there was some trepidation about coming on and doing this podcast because it's really committing to going forward
it's
with
true.
This.
It's true. Yeah.
But you have a gift and you can't deny that. And I'm going to let you start off by explaining exactly what DEI is for somebody out there who absolutely has no clue. Uh-huh. Because it is it's a rather interesting way of healing and mm-hmm. and of learning about yourself, I guess. A therapy, yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's DEI. It stands for dialectical emotional integration. It's basically an emotional clearing technique that uses a series of scripts that are preset, and then I work with a pendulum, which is just a little like weighted ball on a string. And I, it's, I work from home. I work by myself on my clients. I just kind of, it's not psychic work. It's based on the idea that we're all basically connected. But what the pendulum is it's a form of muscle response testing, MRT, which uses the body's electrical system. I'm sure you've probably seen it where, like, people push down the arm.
It was on Dr. Oz.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, great. So, you know, it's the same thing, but what I do, what I'm able to do with this is I use the pendulum, and it's just muscle response testing. I'm just tuning it. Like, if I'm going to work on Ellie, I'm just going to think about Ellie while I'm working, and then the pendulum, I'm just tuning in. I'm getting all the information from you, basically. I don't talk to spirits or anything like
and
that.
And am I there with you, or are you just...
No. You can be, but okay. You don't have to be.
But you're having a muscle response to my
I'm doing
my
it
energy.
Because, yeah, because
so we
we're all...
similar...
Correct. Correct. So it's and you know what? And people are like, well, I don't know. How does that work? I have no idea how it works. I really don't know, like, how technically it works, because it's all like... But, you know, I have a lot of people who I've worked, I mean, including Bianca, who, you know, it's like, it just kind of does. And people feel it. They feel better. I use a, like I said, I have this book of scripts, and then I have...
And what do the scripts look like? What is a script?
Well, I have them. I could show it to you, but that won't help anybody in the podcast. It's almost like a prayer, if you will, but without the religious connotation. It's because it's hooking into, it's basically reprogramming your subconscious and, you know, hooking into the other dimensions of you other than the physical. So
the scripts are just basically preset kind of verses, if you will,
right,
that can pertain to any sort of transformation or transition that you're going through.
Right.
So correct me if I'm wrong,
no,
but
go.
Basically what it does, and at least for me and my understanding of it, is that you have a handbook,
yeah,
that you go to where things are set. So it's there's an equation,
right?
Basically,
absolutely. And there's and like for example, a lot of times there's like there'll be like a negative that I have to put. Like, you'll have a negative belief, like I'm fat, for example.
Wait, why don't we just can we do something on Ellie? Try and do something on Ellie right now.
I guess I can. Can I? Yeah, I can.
All right, let's do this. We'll see.
I don't have anything to write down with, but
that's okay. But I think it would be a great way for our listeners to understand kind of how this works. Sorry, Jake, I totally threw that on you.
No.
Hey, what about me? I'm the victim.
Are you up for this?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we're back. I'm glad we took this little break, because it was very interesting to watch Jake over there with his pendulum furiously swinging, and now we're going to see the results here. Here are the results.
Right. Okay. So, you know, in this book that I use, let me go back a little bit. I was certified in a process called emotional stress integration a few years ago, which was kind of the basis for where this work started for me. And then from that, everything grew. So some of these processes are from the ESI stuff, the emotional stress integration stuff, and then some of them are newer. Some of them are my...
So you've basically taken a process that you learned from somebody else, and you've now made it your own.
Right.
Got it.
And, you know, with complete... gratitude for, and, you know, still use for ESI. It's very important stuff. But so what I did is I started with a process called a new creation result, which kind of sets the tone a little bit for the clearing. And that was what I had brought up for you before. So it was replacing worry about knowing how to fulfill my purpose. Okay. And you said that resonated with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then I did, the next process was a connection resolve. And the connection resolve is where, and this will probably feed into where we'll lead into, because you want to talk about parenting. It's a connection resolve where you at some point connected with a negative context with your mother. And so the context was rejecting my true purpose in order to be accepted. Okay. Now, what that could mean, because your mother in the second half of the process, your mother is given the option to choose assistance from wherever out there is going to help her with this same thing. But for you, this could have happened at, you know, you were 4 years old and you you know, you watched your mother actually reject her purpose in her life in order to be accepted, and you imprinted that subconsciously. Because, you know, it's like what the Course in Miracles says, you know, we people hear us on the level we speak to them from. So our subconscious and our nonverbal communication with each other is so much more powerful than what our words say. So, you know, almost every clearing I do, every, somewhere your mother, your father are in there. Because we're constantly
products of our parents.
Yeah, it's your programming. So this process, this connection resolve, basically dislodged that from you. Then I did a resolve method that was a negative and a positive. And the negative was the same as the connection resolve, which was rejecting my true purpose in order to be accepted. Then the positive that I, you know, had you, you know, program into your subconscious was realigning with my purpose by choosing to know my self-worth in the world.
Okay, repeat that for all the listeners.
Sure.
Everyone needs to hear this.
The negative was rejecting my true purpose in order to be accepted. And the positive was realigning with my true purpose by choosing to know my self-worth in the world. Now, this sounds probably very general and generic, but
I think it would resonate with me a lot.
But that's where the specific stuff comes in for you.
Okay.
And then after that was a new thought resolve, which was letting the truth about my purpose be revealed to me. Okay. And then it kind of summed up with a new creation resolve for the whole clearing. So this is a very short, because I've never worked with you before. The beginnings are always very general and very, it kind of just gets the ball rolling. I mean, as Bianca will tell you, they get much more specific.
For those of you listening out there who are completely confused right now.
Right.
essentially, what this work is, the idea that we all exist on an energetic plane.
Right.
Whether or not you choose to think that this is crazy or not, the fact is that we are all made up of energy. That is indisputable.
Right. Yes.
And so Jake's work basically is energy clearing. He goes in and finds the places where you are stagnant,
right,
where you have had incidences happen in your life that may have caused you to have emotional scarring, emotional wounds,
blocks.
Yeah. We all carry this stuff with us throughout life. And the stuff that we carry in turn tends to affect how we parent,
right?
Because we are affected by how we were parented, and our parents are affected how they were parented. It's cyclical. And what I find so amazing about your work is that it's extremely intuitive. And as I have said earlier, it has been insane to me how spot on you are. Yeah,
that really resonated with me, what you just said. And one of the things I'm wondering is, like, how many of the scripts would resonate? Like, would most of them? Or
you know, because I didn't seek this work. I'm an actor. You know, it's kind of funny. I mean, I work as an actor, and this is kind of my day job, if you will. But it just kind of took over. It's kind of surprising to me even how many people are like, oh my, like just what Bianca said, oh my gosh, it's right
and
on.
It gets very, it gets a lot more specific as you go. Like, obviously sure, it's his first time doing one for you.
Well, so, and I'm not really sharing anything, so it's harder to go. I mean, yeah. But that is absolutely true. My mom's an amazing woman, and she is an artist, and she's also an incredible lawyer. And growing up, my parents got divorced when I was very young, and she felt the need to, go back to law school, which was super admirable, while working a minimum wage job and taking care of me. And she became like a super badass, high powered attorney. And she worked all the time. And so I think that for me, that's what this is bringing up, and seeing that because she's so talented in so many different ways. Like, she's an incredible cook, and she gardens, and she paints. But a lot of the time, you know, she focused on work, and you can't sort of half-ass what she does.
Right.
So she's slowing down now, which is like wonderful to see, or allowing these other things to come back into her life more, because I mean she was working 80 hours a week kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I think for me, I have definitely struggled a lot with like, oh, I'm doing this amazing podcast, but I'm not making a penny doing it. And sort of those issues of, and I'm sure a lot of listeners are like, well, yeah, like fine. What did you say to me originally? What am I even, that it just felt like, what your true calling is sometimes, you know, life gets in the way, and then we see that happen for our parents, and so we feel the same way.
Well, you know, it's interesting because what I find when I you know, because a lot of my clients actually obviously are parents of somebody, and people actually will be referred to me, and they'll want their kids to come. They'll be having trouble with their kids, will be having trouble with, you know, emotional stuff or whatever. And a lot of times people, I mean, this work works really well with traditional therapy, but also because you know, I can sit here with this thing and be like, no, that's not really it. You know,
what's not really,
well, like if you say, you know, oh, well, I'm sad about my dog dying, I can be like, no, that's not what you're sad about. It's something else.
Because
it tunes into you and it just tells the truth. Do you know what I mean? It just hooks into you telling yourself
right.
the can truth.
Can you feel that without the,
yeah, I mean, I can, but this just, you know, it's just easier to work with a tool. But what happens is when people send their kids to work with me, I'm like, yeah, I'll work with the kid. But as I start working with the kid, the parent starts recognizing through all of these things. They're like, oh, that's me. Oh, that's me. And every single time I switch and I end up switching and working with the kid and the parent, but the parent always wants to, you know, because the reality is, you know, there's a great, I wrote it down. Joseph Chilton Pierce has this great quote, and it says, you know, what we are teaches the child more than what we say. So we must be what we want our children to become. And that's really, for me in this work, is what I find to be the truth.
And I think that, you know, I'm just thinking about like my own parents and my father who, you know, he defected from Czechoslovakia, and in it's now Slovakia, but Czechoslovakia at the time, I mean, when you were in high school, you had to decide what you wanted to be. You had to decide your job. Can you imagine like 13, 14 years old saying like, oh, well, now this is what, I mean, we at least get till college, and even some people don't decide until after college. So he was a doctor and he came to the States. He escaped communism. He left his family. He never saw anyone. He saw his mom. He never saw his father again. His father passed before he was able to make it back to Slovakia. And my father was horrifically depressed when I was a very young child. And I knew it. I did not know what that was. But as an adult, I now recognize that I felt and could see his depression. And I think that that's what we have to remember, that as parents, whatever we're going through, even things that we are not conscious of,
right?
The struggles that we have in our life, our kids see it and our kids feel it.
Oh my God. Last week I was, something really, really awful happened. And I was crying and I didn't know that my daughter was home, taking her nap, because I had come home and I went upstairs to the bathroom and I was crying. My daughter woke up from her nap and the sitter brought her into the bathroom to say, are you okay? And Sabrina reached out for me and she rubbed my shoulder, hugging me, and she's only 14 months. And I was like, and it was so sweet, but I didn't want her to see me sad, but I guess I want her to be able to acknowledge her feelings. So I was like, you know, it's okay. Mommy's feeling sad, but it's okay. And it's not your job to make mommy feel better. And that was amazing, because I was like, oh God, I should say that myself every day.
Well,
like,
you know,
it's not our job to make our mommies feel better. Like, it's just not.
No, absolutely. And, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, you can tell your child, like, you could tell your daughter, you know, 20 times a day how pretty she is. Because I know that, you know, the last thing you want is your, either one of you wants your daughters to grow up with any kind of body issues.
Right.
You tell them over and over again how pretty she is, how pretty she is. But she just walks in the room and sees you standing in the mirror grabbing your fat roll.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that speaks more to mm-hmm. her on a subconscious level. You know, and our subconscious is what really creates our life. You know, it's that, you know, that's where, you know, that's the impetus for everything. So it's, and I think, you know, like the way that you handled that was really really well done, because, you know, it's, we all have our, can I say shit here?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You can swear.
We all have our shit. You know what I mean? We're all bringing our shit to the table. It is what it is. It's not about being a perfect parent or being a perfect person. Because none of us can ever accomplish that, you know, but it's really about, being able to be in a space with your child where there's safety for dialogue, and you know, and everybody is okay as they are. You know, it's okay to be sad. It's okay that, you know, it's not bad to have a sad day, and it's not bad to cry, and it's not bad to be depressed or feel disappointed, or any of those things are, you know, because our impetus a lot of times, just in life with people who we love, you know, when we see them in any kind of pain, we want to fix it. We want to make it better. We want to say, oh, don't worry about that. They don't, you know, or don't worry about what they said. Their mom is fat, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, just stupid, you know, but we'll say things to just try to fix it. But instead of just acknowledging, you know what, it's okay. It's okay to be there, you know, because this is part of the human experience. It's part of the beauty of all of it, you know.
It's feeling everything.
Yeah.
Feeling everything. And I also think that we're, as a culture and as a generation, we're asleep at the wheel, and we don't realize how much of what we do is influenced solely almost by our subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what is so great about your work, is that you really help bring to light the things that are rumbling under the surface. And that when you can understand that, when you can look at, you know, like whatever you just said to Ellie about, you know, reprogramming, here's the negative belief. Now we're going to put in the positive belief.
I love that it was to let it reveal itself.
Well, and you know, and the thing about this work specifically, and you know this, Bianca, for just your experiences, it's not like, you know, people will always, like, I'll finish and they'll be like, okay, so what do I do this? Do I say it over and over again? And I'm like, you can, but really the work is done. Like, it's already done. But people will have, like, I mean, I'm not saying that you're going to have this, but Bianca, I know, has had this. People will have physical reactions, like they'll feel things as the clearings move through, because your subconscious is, you know, our bodies, like you said, we're all energy and it's all connected. And
someone with this described it to me this way once, and it was so helpful, was that if you think about your belief system in your brain as a weave of weeds, all these weeds that have grown, these weeds are representing truths. And this, you know, this kind of wall of weeds has grown together through over the course of your life with all the truths of anything. I mean, who you think you are. People told me I'm fat. I have a mom and a dad.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is single. Anything about your life is represented as a weed, and they all weave together. And when you take one of those truths that you have for most of your life believed to be true, and you remove it, it cannot help but affect the structure of the weave. And so, you know, I remember, like, when my dad died, that's a major truth.
Sure.
I have a father, and now I no longer have a father. And that's why I think we go through such horrific struggle and depression, obviously, because it's very sad. It's a horrific loss to lose somebody. But also, your entire makeup of who you are as a person has to now be readjusted to accept the new truth of, I no longer have a father. And I think if people could understand more of this in terms of how it affects your life on a daily basis, these truths that you live with, these truths that you believe about yourself, these
right.
belief systems that are in place. And someone like Jake, and what he does is to come in and help kind of hold the mirror up to your face and say, this is a truth that you have that is not true. That is something you have believed. Well, it's been true by the mere fact that you've believed it your whole life.
Exactly.
But we're going to remove it and we're going to replace it with this new, you know, positive thing. And there's some like past life stuff in there too. Yeah. I mean, it kind of runs the gamut of all this cool stuff.
Yeah,
do you think for listeners like this weekend, like could they, as an exercise, perhaps, you know, write down what are my stories or like what are my truths? What do I believe about myself or what do I say to myself on a daily basis? And then if they're negative, write a positive that they could.
You know, I'm a big proponent of any of that. You know, and I mean, I say this on my website. I'm like, you know, people who like I don't advertise what I do. People who find me just through, you know, referrals or through other people. But, you know, there are many ways to do this kind of work. You know,
so
all roads
in Michigan,
lead to Rome.
Like,
yes.
What could, if, like,
I mean, well, they can call me. No, I'm kidding. but the reality is that, you know, somebody in Michigan could, you know, if it takes the willingness to be truly, 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 truly honest. And I think that that's something that, you know, a lot of us are kind of out of practice with about ourselves. We don't, you know, even me, I mean, you know, and I do this every day, you know, we don't really, because we've created, like Bianca says, we create this idea of who we are, and then we operate our lives from that place. So it takes a real, you know, it takes a real willingness and commitment to being aware. You know, I don't think it's something that you could just be like, okay, I'm going to sit down and write down all the negative things. It takes just the decision of, you know what, I'm going to start paying attention. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start paying attention this, you know, this week. And I'm going to be like, how many times do I tell my kid something that I don't really believe about myself?
That's a great
How many times do I tell my kid that it doesn't matter what the kids at school say when she's going to see me, taking the laundry down off the clothesline because I don't want the neighbors to see it, or bringing the garbage cans in from the street by 6 because if not, the neighbors, you know, talk about it, you know, or things like that. You know, how many times do I... Go ahead.
I think another good one is like when you say things to your kids that are not what you truly hope or wish for them, but you realize like, you know, I'm trying to think of an example of it, but like for me, I always pay attention to the way that I feel when I say things, because I notice that anytime there is an expression of something that is, you know, a strong emotion like anger or sadness or I will feel it physically and my throat gets tight or my chest gets tight or something like that. And when I pay attention to that, I realize like that's not something that I believe in the here and now. That's something that was taught to me over the past, from the past. So it's like when your kid says, oh, I want to do this. And you say, well, you can't, like, you couldn't do that. It's, you know, and you feel yourself start to get tight and you feel yourself start to get antsy or something, and pay attention to that. Say like, did somebody tell me that I couldn't do things? Is there some part of me that feels like you can't accomplish the things that you want to accomplish because I felt like I couldn't accomplish the things that I wanted to accomplish? Because our children, I think, are these pure little spirits that come with their own agenda and their own kind of...
I think that's a really good point to bring up, because I think that so often, I think for parents, at least the ones that I work with, you know, they can get really caught in the day-to-day, in the moment of... The reality is, you know, relationships are divine assignments. All relationships that we have are divine assignments. No relationship is an accident. Your parents were the exact parents that you, whoever, whatever the God force is for you, that's the one that you were assigned to for your soul's growth in this lifetime. Your child chose you for his or her soul's growth in this lifetime. So there's a reason that Magnolia was, you know, chose you and Mike. You know, there's a reason for that connection.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think so often, you know, like parents can be so mean to each other. I'm so grateful so often that I'm not a parent, because no, they can be really critical and cruel to each other. Yeah. And because there's so much shame involved in parenting, and there's so much, yeah, you know, perfectionism,
so much
and
narcissism.
Oh, it's a really, you know, and it's a vicious cycle. So I think that, you know, when you can kind of pull yourself back and be like, okay, wait a minute now. This is actually a lot bigger than just, you know, is Magnolia going to be on the tennis team, you know, in junior high, you know, and then, you know, be on the honor roll and boom, 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 boom. And you know what I'm saying? This is about a much bigger picture. This is about, you know, like nurturing a human being, like what kind of human being do I want to, what kind of citizen do I want to put into the world? And then looking at that, okay, so if I want to put this kind of citizen, so where do I fall on that scale? Where am I not that person that I want to create? You know,
I want my child to
that'll
look at the
be
world.
The change you want to see in the world.
Yeah,
you know, that
true.
Thing. It's be the person you want your child to be.
Do you want your child to look at the world from a place of fear?
Right.
I did a meditation workshop Sunday morning with my hubby, and the teacher there said to us, he said, so many people want to go out and change the world. You know, so many people have this idea of, I got to go do this charity work, or I got to do, you know, I need to go and affect things and help hunger and do all these things. And yet so many of those people can't turn and look within their own family and the things that they need right. to do within their own family. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, this great teacher said, how different the world would be if we just took responsibility for that which surrounds us, yeah. for that oh. that's around us. Yeah. And that it's instead okay. of thinking about the charity, you know, function that you need to be spearheading, think about your children, think about yourself, think about how much of a better place the world would be if you just made yourself happy and then allowed a space for your kids to be happy.
Being happy and taking care of yourself is not selfish. And it's like you think it is, or people think it is sometimes.
Right.
And then I think what you're saying about the charity work, I mean, obviously it's amazing, but I think as a parent, we have to constantly check ourselves about, like, okay, is this because of how we want to be perceived? Because some of the charity work is about being on that list of donors or
feeling like you
achievement.
School. Achievement. It's
absolutely.
About achievement.
Yeah.
I'm helping you for achievement. It's like, but then you're right. Like, what about home?
Yeah.
Or like, call that aunt who's lonely, you know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it is, Jake, you just said this and I want to reiterate it too. It's like, it's so hard to be a parent. It's the hardest job in the world. And everyone thinks they're your supervisor, and everyone thinks that they can critique how you choose to do things. And, you know, I think that was kind of the aim for Ellie and I of doing this podcast, is that to help people to feel accepted no matter what they choose, you know, that we're all just doing the best that we can. And I think understanding, you know, who you are and the reasons why you do things, and that sometimes it's not what you think it is. It's not in the here and now, I'm saying this or doing this because this is the way I feel right now. It's because of things that have happened, or the
right.
way that you were raised, or the way that your parents were raised.
You know, I saw somebody in the I was out at the Grove the other day, and I saw this mother, because, you know, we live in Los Angeles, so there's a lot of these modern mothers. You know, who, you know, they, you know, it's, there's a, this, there's, it's a great idea. There's a great, school where it's like, you know, you want your children to feel like they're heard and to feel like, you know, you want to be, but, you know, how far can you really rationally discuss something with a 3-year-old? Like, you know what I mean? I mean, right. there does come a limit of just fucking responsibility, like, just, you know,
yeah.
cut it out. But, you know, but my question, when I was looking at this woman, like, sitting with her kid and really in, like, in a public place, like, you know, and of course when they do that, they stop, like, right in the middle of a doorway. So everybody has to
yeah.
wait for, you know, but in the middle of this public place, you know, and just really trying to, you know, have the child, you know, communicate and talk to you and talk and listen. And I was watching and I was like, this isn't about that kid at all.
Yeah.
I was like, the kid just wants an ice cream. You want to be heard. The lady wanted to be heard. I was like, where are you not feeling like you're being heard?
Yeah.
That's what you need to address. Don't try to make sure your kid is being heard without making sure that you're being heard.
Right.
Don't try to make sure that, you know, because that's the thing is, you know, I think so often, you know, parents, with the best of intentions, want to make sure that their kids have everything they didn't have.
Right.
You know, emotionally.
And my mom has warned me about it. She's like, you're going to do everything the opposite and just you wait. Kind of thing. Like, and that,
sure.
I probably could imagine myself being the woman at the Grove, like, looking Sabrina in the eyes and being like, this is not the time and place. Maybe later.
Well, that's reasonable. But
I hear what you're saying because it is. Everything is a reaction to the past. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my wanting to have like a one-on-one, you know, talk about it is a reaction to, you know, as a child, you know, it was, you know, you just, it was like Von Trapp family. It was great. If my mom's listening, it was wonderful. And my dad, but it was, you know, you just, you do what you're told.
Yeah.
Right.
All it took was a look.
That was mine too.
Well,
yeah.
And look, it's an entirely different generation now. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way that our parents parented, everything has changed. And, you know, God bless our parents, because I know my mom looks at me sometimes and I'm like, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, well, this is the new way, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll be that way with our kids. When they become
Sabrina.
Parents. Yeah. But you know, for anybody who is interested in Jake and his work, Juju Jake, as I like to call him, you can find out more information about him on his website, which is jakemartin.com.
DEI.com.
Oh, it's DEI.com.
JakeMartinDEI.com.
Okay. So JakeMartinDEI.com.
Right.
And, you know, you can do work with Jake if you're so inclined, or read more about what he does, or, you know, just kind of what we were talking about. It just start to pay attention to, you know, the things that you're saying and doing for your kids and demonstrating for your kids, and ask yourself, is this something that is more about me?
Yeah, it's really just about like just staying aware, like letting yourself stay, like pulling yourself out of the moment when you're so focused on what your kid is doing that's got you upset about your kid. Just ask yourself, is this about me? You know, where do I do this? Am I reflecting this? You know.
That's amazing. What was what did you say at the very beginning again about the purpose thing? Because I feel like a lot of people listening are going to.
Oh, for you?
Yeah. But just for everyone, I feel like.
But this was specific for you. It was replacing worry about knowing how to fulfill your purpose.
It's a very good one for most people.
For most women in their 20s, 30s, 40s.
Jake, we loved having you, and I feel like we didn't even scrape the surface of all that I could talk about with you and do talk about with you on an almost daily basis. And I hope you'll come back,
because
I feel like this is something that, you know, a lot of people can benefit from. And whether or not you are somebody that is a little bit more, you know, in the straight and narrow, and this feels a little
out there.
I just have to say, you know, for me, it's been life changing. And I adore you.
I adore you.
And we'll have you back soon.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And we'll be right back.
And we're back.
Hello.
Hi.
So what'd you think of that?
I thought it was super awesome. It was a little intense. I was nervous. You know, I kind of felt like, you know, when you see those talk shows and someone in the audience, like he's not a psychic, but you're kind of afraid.
You get like singled out.
You get singled out and you're like, oh God, they're going to tell me I didn't realize I was, you know, something horrible happened to me when I was little that I didn't know about.
Well, and I think the thing with
nothing horrible happened to me, everyone. Sorry.
I think the thing is it's a very kind of overwhelming and can be very confusing, the work that Jake does. But the point of having him on here, and the reason why I really wanted him to come and talk about what he does, is mostly just to show and demonstrate to all of us that, like, to be aware and to be present in the moment when you're saying and doing things, that know that a lot of how we behave isn't the result of what's happening in the now. And I think that if we could just even bring a little bit of awareness to the idea that things that have happened to you before, the way that you were parented, even past life stuff, if you choose to believe that, which I do, and I know.
Or previous generations in your own family.
Exactly. Okay. Genetic stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all there. And so, you know, have a little patience. I mean, aren't there those moments where you find yourself getting really angry and you're like, you know, in that moment, you're like, I am way more angry than what this is about. Like, you feel in your body and you're vibrating. That usually...
It's not about this, you know?
Yeah. One thing that one of my great teachers told me once, which is really hard for almost anybody to understand, is... anytime you feel anger, you are wrong. And that's a heavy, big thing. But the idea is that, like, nothing in this world is personal. No matter how somebody treats you, no matter what somebody does to you, it's always about them. And we get so reactive. And the anger is the frustration of not knowing what to do, not knowing how to deal. It's the lack of peace that we feel with ourselves. And so we respond. And now, look,
because I was just thinking, what if I'm angry because I'm wrong? So then
oh my God, Ellie, only you. I don't know.
No, like I feel like I'm wrong. I don't know.
We'll have Jake on again.
No, good. I want you to finish and I'm going to stop eating popcorn because it's so rude.
It's good.
See, I'm being wrong and now I'm angry about it. I'm angry about being wrong.
Can I tell you what I'm angry about and I know I'm wrong?
I have a long list
of things that I'm possibly angry about or that you're angry about.
Oh, that would be fun. We could just project on each other.
No, I want to tell you what I'm angry about and I'm wrong. So I went onto our iTunes page and I read our reviews, which look, I'm fairly clear in my awareness that not everyone is going to love our podcast and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But there's one bad review and this person, it frustrates me because she's wrong. she said that this podcast, if you don't have a nanny or can afford like a Michelin baby carrier,
which I don't even know what that is.
I don't even know what that is either.
My baby looks like a Michelin baby, a Michelin man's baby. Someone wrote that on Instagram, which is so rude.
On your private account?
No, before. That's why it went private.
Oh.
So yeah, we don't know what Michelin strollers are, but we know what Michelin
is. Or a swaddler or something. I don't know. But here's
they were making fun of
Eva?
No, yeah, when I was talking, nobody can talk about Mr. Magic Merlin's sleep suit.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. But the point is that it's so not who we are as people. To me, it was that she or he missed the whole point of the podcast. And I understand if you don't, if you're not into what we're talking about, if it doesn't vibe with you or if it doesn't apply to you, fine. But that doesn't mean that you have to give it. It's like, because it's different, she gave it one star.
We're not for everyone, and that's totally cool. And I respect everyone's right to write a comment. I want everyone to write a comment. I'm going to try really hard not to read them all and internalize them all. But like everyone has a right to say it.
Yeah, but I think the reason it frustrated me is because it wasn't accurate. It wasn't correct. It wasn't – this isn't what our podcast is about. We happen to say – and by the way, some of our mom sessions, like some of our clothing lines, they're like the cheapy –
That was weird because the person did – the comment mentioned this is how – unimportant we are that we're upset about one comment. Someday we'll have like millions of listeners. So there'll be thousands of haters.
By the way, one of eight comments. So it was like not even, I mean, you can't miss it and it's fine. But
she said that it was that we mentioned expensive clothing lines. And I had mentioned a clothing line in Texas run by two moms that's very inexpensive and like made in Texas, you know.
Well, and I think the whole point of doing this podcast is to make it for everybody and to make it accessible and that the whole point of it is to embrace all of it. And also the nanny comment peed me off as well.
You work.
Yeah, but I also, after the last 7 months, it's been, I've had help, but I'm there in the trenches basically doing everything myself. And so I know that's probably just because I'm like sensitive to that because that's a hard concept to like think about having someone that takes care of your kid for you.
Yeah.
But I think cause I make such an effort to do it. So as much of it as I can, like when we go on vacation, we went to New York for a business trip. It was me and Mike,
by the way, that's why vacations suck so hard. And there was a great article I'll put it up on Facebook, about that this summer, about kids going to, you know, moms getting these little summer cottages in New Jersey or something. And like the idea that like the mom, maybe it was the Onion, have the same day. It's like, but they're just by the beach. Like they have to still do all the same crap that they've always done, but it's just by the beach. And it's vacations like are really difficult. And that could be a whole topic because it's like the kids don't sleep. You're responsible for everything still.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you still have to seem like you're not totally psychotic in front of your in-laws. Which I'm still struggling with.
Yeah. I'm still struggling with that in front of everybody.
So please leave comments.
Yeah.
Actually, what's really important is join us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. If you like us, please star us. You know,
And I'm also, listen, I want to hear it all. I do. I want to hear what people like. I want to hear what people don't like. Oh, you know what? Maybe we could talk in the last couple minutes we have remaining, because someone did ask me this on Instagram, I think, is if we would share how we arrived at our decision to get pregnant.
Oh, that's good.
And I like to, like, give somebody what they ask for, because I think that's really great.
Yeah, so ask us questions on Facebook, too, and we'll answer
them. So tell me about when you...
Oh, my God. I wasn't ready for a really long time. I was engaged at 23, married at 24. And then waited many, many years. My husband's from the Midwest and he's wanted a baby since, like, the day we met. And I didn't feel ready. And then finally... we gave it a go and it worked. And my big fear was that everything was going to change, that suddenly I'd be just the mom and I wouldn't have anything to talk to anyone else about. And I'd sort of be pigeonholed in this thing that I wasn't even really sure that I wanted to do. I was afraid of not having the freedom of traveling. I was afraid of, I had other weird fears because my parents got divorced when I was very little. So then it's like the fear that, like, you know, this is so insane, but like that we're going to have a child and then Adam will decide he doesn't like me anymore. And then he's going to have some young wife and I'm going to be the mom picking up my daughter at some beautiful house in the Hollywood Hills because he'll make it big time after we're divorced. You know, like crazy stuff. Okay, but this is my brain. These were some of the fears. I have got to tell you, that having Sabrina brought me so much more joy with other people. That's not English. Sorry, guys. There are times I thought it was going to disconnect me, and instead it made me so much more connected to other people because people saw me on a more human level. We could talk about their children. Instead of like, well, what do you do? What have I seen you in recently? I was like, oh, what's going on with your kid?
Yeah.
Or how do you feel? And it just humanizes everyone.
It humanizes people for me because I now imagine everyone as a child. Like, I look at people and I think, like, that person was like Magnolia one time, you know? And, like, I see so much of Magnolia in other babies. So other babies seem... Mm-hmm. It's really kind of crazy how that happens.
No, it's so true. I didn't... Sorry, we're going to get lots of comments, I'm sure, when I say it. I didn't really like kids before I had mine. I wasn't that into them. At the younger age, the babies. I wasn't into babies.
Yeah.
But now I am.
I love that you say that, though, because I feel like, for me, when I was thinking about getting pregnant, I was like, but I, like, hold someone's baby for 10 minutes, and I'm like, okay. And then I would hand it back. So I was like, how am I? It's so different when it's your own child. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting with our decision to get pregnant is I just kept feeling like, God, I have so much more that I still need to do in my career, and I need to finish that before I can have a kid. And I kept thinking that. And my husband... he was ready when we were dating. He's been ready since he was like 10 years old. He's like always wanted to be a dad. That's his thing. And he was so kind and great with me because he said, look, I get it. You need to finish some stuff, work some stuff out. So when you're ready, you let me know. And so we had just gotten married. It was December of 2012 and the following spring. So May, I took a little retreat by myself. I tried to do that. Not anymore, but, mm-hmm. but I did that in my single, parenting life. And I went away for a couple days and I was walking around and it dawned on me. I just was like, I'm 36, almost 37. It's got to be soon because, you know, the biological clock is ticking. Who knows if the stuff down there even works. And I just was like, I got to stop worrying about how everything else is going to fall into place.
That's amazing.
And so I went home and I said, hey, what do you think? And he was like, well, you know what I think, and started to get kind of excited about it. And you know, and then we gave it a go. And it's funny because everyone always says, like, how do you know that you're ready? And I just think you never feel ready. You can only think that, like, I think the idea occurs to you and you don't, like, turn green at the thought of it. That's probably, like, good enough.
Yeah. And I got suckered in because of the holidays. Because I was with my in-laws and we had a new nephew who's only a few months old, and I was holding little Ryder, and he was so delicious. And I'm not normally a baby person, yeah, but he was so delicious. He fell asleep on me. And seeing my mother-in-law and father-in-law and the way that they acted with my nephew,
yeah,
with this little baby, like the joy that they gave to this little baby, I was like, the clock is ticking too. Like, I loved having younger grandparents.
Yeah.
And so that was also part of it. I was like, okay, it was the holidays. So be careful out there, everyone. You'll end up.
Yeah. Don't with let another those baby. Sappy Christmas commercials get
New
you.
Year's is That's so how dangerous. They
get you. I'm going to talk about my mom's session really quickly. I had gotten a couple jumpers for Magnolia and I did not like any of them because she looked really uncomfortable in all of them. So I did a little research online and I found this thing. It's called the Mary Muscles Jumper Exerciser. And just says, scientifically designed by an occupational therapist to safely enhance your baby's muscular development, balance, and coordination. All I'll say is she doesn't like to be in anything more than 20 minutes, and she stayed in this bad boy for an hour. And what's cool about it is it's like a sling, and it can go on any doorway. You can either screw it in or it has a clamp, so it works anywhere. And it has like the back is a little bit higher, so she can like lay back and chillax, and she loves it.
I wish I had known about it.
You could still probably, I think it goes up to a certain age. I'll look at it. I'll check it out.
Check it out. Okay.
Mom bomb.
Mom bomb. I've got two. I'm going to give you this one. Okay. It's a Polish proverb. And it is, not my circus, not my monkeys. And I love it.
I love it too.
Not my circus, not my monkeys. Think about that over the holidays.
Yeah.
Because we get sucked into other people's drama all day long.
So true.
Because I would say to myself, not my problem, not my problem, not my problem. Because I like to make other people's problems my problem. So not my circus, not my monkeys. That's what I'm going to be thinking about this week.
That's good. And you guys use this time to, look at yourself and just think about the reasons behind or the motivation behind, when you're talking to your kid, and maybe it's more about you. We love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. And just remember, trust in your goodness, live out your greatness, and rock on, Atomic Moms.
Woo!
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudeen posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.